You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
All right, welcome back to Hour number 3. We have survived this long. Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am ESPN's David Hale, filling in for Paul while he is off doing better things. We have had our good friend, AC, calling from all the way from Bangladesh. We've had him here on the line for a while. We appreciate his patience. AC, what you got for us? Hey, we've been talking success. What constitutes success? What will make a successful conversation? Your call. What's success for you today?
Thank you so much for taking my call, sir. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, sir.
Absolutely. Well, you don't have to call me a sir. I appreciate you for taking my call. Hey, man, you're doing a good job. I appreciate that, too. And I appreciate you for hosting the show for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. And, you're doing a great job, and I appreciate that, too. Don't be nervous. You're doing a good job. I'm not going to attack you. I'm not like some sort of sore loser.
I always fall back on a great Simpsons line, which is, finally, people are calling me sir without adding, you're making a scene. So I therefore will try to give you the honorarium of sir, just because I want to be kind. What you got for us, AC?
When I grew up, I learned that you got to respect people, and this is the way I learned, man. What am I gonna do? But you're talking about success. Let's forget the sports for a moment. When you're talking about success, I went through failures every single day, over and over and over again. That motivates me. How I became successful. That's success. You're not going to have success if you don't fail, man. That's the only way to do this. Has to fail over and over again. And I loved it.
I think this is genius, actually. I'm going to give you a ton of credit for this because I do think, look, the hardest job in college football, and this is why Nick Saban is such an absolute pinnacle of the best of the best of the best, is maintaining success. Because success breeds complacency, whereas failure creates drive. And so to stay successful for a long time without failure is real darned hard.
Absolutely, because you have to fail first, because you're not going to have success if you don't fail first. And I became successful because I failed. And I loved it. I'm being dead serious. If I did not fail, I would not be where I am today. Some of the nights before I sleep, I think about where I was, where I am today, and I'm very, very thankful. This is how I function. When people tell me, AC, you're not this and that, that motivates me. So all the callers, they call it, they bash me, I love it. It's like your rat poison I'm drinking. I love it. I motivate myself like that. I'm not Jim from Tuscaloosa with a thin skin because I'm a bigger man. Now, I have a bigger question for you. I have a great question for you.
Let's hear it.
Let's assume you're the head coach. Let's assume you're the head coach for Michigan at Ohio State. You're Jim Harbaugh. You're Ryan Day. What would be your message going into this season? Because, again, Ohio State, they lost to Michigan. And, of course, they went to the playoffs, and they couldn't get the job done. Michigan went to the playoffs. They should have went to the finals, but they did not. So what would be your message? Because Ryan Day is in the hot seat, and I don't know why Jim Harbaugh is not in the hot seat, because I think he should be fired. But he deserves to keep his job, let's put it this way. But his motto is he wants to win a championship, and so far he hasn't done any of that. So you're Jim Harbaugh, you're Ryan Day. What's your message to your program this upcoming season? Thank you so much for taking my call. And if any idiot gives you a hard time, hang up on them, my buddy.
You're the man, AC. I respect my guy from Bangladesh. I needed that. I needed that pick-me-up today, and I appreciate it. You know, it's a good question. Look, here, if you're Ryan Day, to me, the conversation's easy. The sales pitch is easy. Ain't nobody believes in us. They want me fired. They think you stink because we don't have a quarterback. You lost to Michigan the last 2 years. Ain't nobody buying stock in Ohio State right now. Of course, that's not true. But that's the sales pitch. I'm around Clemson a lot. I'm based in Charlotte. I'm around Dabo a lot. Man, he plays this nobody believes in us card every year. They win a national championship and ain't nobody believing in them the next year. And I don't know how the hell he manages to make that pitch again and again and again and get people to buy in. The sales pitch is easy for Ryan Day right now. Ain't nobody buying Ohio State. If I'm Michigan, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, well, first of all, I'd love to just know what's going on in Jim Harbaugh's head at any given time. But the way that I would be approaching this is like, you got to know what's happened ain't success the last couple of years. It was success. What you have done the last 2 years constitutes success by old Michigan standards, by the way things were before, when you couldn't beat Ohio State, when you couldn't get to a playoff, when his job was on the line. That ain't enough anymore. The definition of success for Michigan is different now. The needle has moved. And the folks inside that locker room got to understand that. J.J. McCarthy, is he a Heisman contender? Because I don't hear his name very much, but he should be. That should be his method of success, his definition of success. I'm going to be among those elite quarterbacks, not the game manager guy who's going to get you enough to win. Is beating Ohio State enough anymore at Michigan? I say you can't sell that. It can't be about Ohio State. You got to aim bigger if you're Michigan. To me, that's one of the fascinating conversations as we get into this 2023 football season. For so long, Michigan's entire drive, everything they wanted, was to get to where they are right now, and they got it. But there's further to go. And I want to see Michigan, I want to see Jim Harbaugh sell that to Michigan. To me, that is a really interesting conversation. All right. We got Matt calling from Maine, the college football capital of the United States, Maine.
Well, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. This is Matt in Maine, and Maine is pretty good at football, too. But the reason that I was calling in, you asked what would be success for your team, and that would be the UAB Blazers. And Trent Dilfer, in his first year, to win 7 games, and one of those games would be to beat the Memphis Bulldogs, I mean Tigers, of course, and go to a bowl game. I'm really excited to see Trent Dilfer come in and put all his coaches and new players to work. So that's why I was calling.
I appreciate the call, Matt. And this is I'm with you on this. We have spent a lot of this offseason talking about one coach by the name of Deion Sanders and what he's doing out in Colorado. And I get that. Deion, he called Coach Prime for a reason. I'm fascinated by what's happening at UAB. That Trent Dilfer hire, I mean, in a year in which Deion doesn't get a Power 5 job, people would be looking at this Trent Dilfer hire as something way outside the box, a place that's really trying something different, a place that's going with building around a name and a brand and a personality as much as any sort of on-field coaching success. Like, I think this is really interesting. Could it go great? Of course it could. Trent Dilfer knows a whole lot about football. Could it be a train wreck? It could. I think the same thing could happen at Colorado with Deion. Like, this is, in any other offseason, I think we would be talking about UAB and Trent Dilfer and what's happening there with the Blazers a lot more than we are right now. I think it's fascinating. A bowl game, I think that would be success. I think that if you ask Trent Dilfer, the bar might be even a little bit higher than that. But, yeah, I would argue UAB is probably one of the most interesting, certainly outside of the Power 5, one of the most interesting programs in college football right now. All right. He gone. We got Elliot in Ohio talking complacency. Elliot, I was just talking about Jim Harbaugh maybe getting a little too complacent up at Michigan and that those guys got to aim high. Where's your head at on all this?
Dude, it's not about Big Ten. It's not about SEC. It's the big SEC. Our rivals are no longer Michigan, Ohio State. It's between the SEC and the Big Ten. Our rival is anybody in the SEC, and it should be likewise the other way around. I just called to pay homage to Paul, who I know has gotten complacent recently, probably why nobody understands where he's been all week. But that's probably why he said the whole thing about firing ESPN. Now he's gone for the whole week. Nobody knows where he's at. So, first of all, homage to Paul. He's had a great show. But finally, you're talking Big Ten. You're giving some respect to the Buckeyes and to Michigan. That's what the show should be about. And it's about time. Although I love Paul, I think it's time to change the course of this show.
I believe Paul, look, he doesn't want me to tell you this. He is just relaxing on a beach in Iowa. So he's studying up on the
know.
Big Ten.
There's the controversy. There's the controversy of the ESPN. That's the last we heard of him. You know, I'm not sure. I think negotiations are in place, brother. All goes back to complacency.
Paul's got enough audio now, like history. He's been doing this show long enough. We can just use ChatGPT and just, we don't even need Paul anymore. We can have it running on autopilot. We don't need him anymore. I know there's no chance Paul's listening to this because he's deep into his Big Ten tape, his film review for the year. Elliot, who's your pick for to win the Big Ten this year, since you want to talk some Big Ten?
Dude, Ohio State. I'm Buckeyes all the way, brother. Ohio State's got this.
You're on the Ryan Day train, or are you on the fire Ryan Day train?
Dude, I'm on the that was a call. That was a bad call. We were one call away from winning that game against Georgia.
Agreed.
If he hadn't been taken out, that was targeting all the way. Ask any sportscaster besides those down south. That was targeting in and out, dude. We got robbed.
I would argue that on any given Saturday conversation, Ohio State was as good as anybody last year. Unfortunately, the folks down south, they will point at the scoreboard and tell you what it was. But hey, listen,
Ryan Day is the only one that can stand up to the SEC right now. I'll tell you that.
I
totally embarrassed with Michigan. Now, what was that? That was terrible.
Again, that's them playing Ohio State and thinking that was their playoff game. It was all supposed to be easy after
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Who are your eyes on? They better be on the SEC, brother, because that's our competition. As soon as people figure that out, the better we are.
I love
the big
this.
SEC. That's going to be the name of the conference.
I love it. I love it. Elliot, thanks for the call, man. Enjoy the summer up in Big Ten country. This has been fun. All right, we got James from Alabama. Let's get James in here right before the break. James, what do you got to say? We got Big Ten infiltrating this show. Bring us back to reality.
Reality? You sure? Can you handle reality?
Maybe I have asked for too much.
Possibly. Here's what you should do, brother. Call DigiPod. That's DIGGY, capital P, capital O, capital D. And ask them about Michigan. See if you can get their pulse on Michigan. And if they're concerned about the SEC, or Ohio State for that matter, they're going for the three-peat this year. Gosh, you heard it here from an Auburn fan.
Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're all sitting down. Georgia's good. I agree.
Georgia's good? Of course Georgia's good.
Well, all right, you're an Auburn fan. I want to hear that. What's your definition of success for Auburn this year? What would be a successful year?
If those people over there would leave our coach alone. I could explain to you if you had time while they fired the other one, but you don't have an interest.
Well, let's. I will say I am always interested, but I am also always interested in not getting fired for whatever might be said about this on the
tell
radio.
Tell me something. Do people calling into the show realize that Feinbaum's been out 2 weeks?
Well, you know, time flies
week,
when
not?
You're having fun.
Oh, my bad.
Hey, listen, Paul will be back. I feel very confident in this. Will it be just an automated? AI generated Paul. I can't promise anything. I'm not. That's above my pay grade. But Paul will be back at some point, and this show will get much, much better after that. James, we appreciate you. We got to go to break. When we come back, our pal Dave Wilson's out in Big 12 country. Talk Big Ten. Talk to the SEC. Talk some Florida State. Now it's time to talk some Big 12 football. He's at Big 12 Media Day. We'll catch up with him on what some of the big talking points were from today. On the other side of the break, this is Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am David Hale, filling in for Paul, who, as we have learned, is stashed somewhere in an underground bunker, watching Big Ten film, getting prepared for the SEC's real rival, which is the Big Ten, according to some folks out there. Along with the Big Ten, we've got a few other conferences that are still playing football, I'm told. One of them being the Big 12, which is holding its media days as we speak. We're going to chat with our pal Dave Wilson from ESPN about that in just a bit. It is amusing to me, to some extent, to see there's a weird bit of optimism, I feel like, around the Big 12. A weird bit of the pesky little brother who is definitely going to lose to you in one-on-one, but is talking some smack either way. They're losing Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC next year, but they've still got them this year. And it's a league that seems to have some positive vibes about it. You go look at the Pac-12, and the world's about to end. You look at the ACC, and they've got Magnificent Seven and a breakaway, and everybody's looking to get out the door. You look at the Big 12, and they're like, hey, anybody else want to come to our party? It's a fun party. Added UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, and BYU starting this year. I think adding Kalani Sitake to any media days is a great upgrade for them. I think it's fascinating to me to see where this league is headed, this being sort of a bridge year where you've got both the teams that are leaving and the teams that are coming all part of a league this year. I, for one, would love to see them have just completely opened the doors to expansion, have 100 teams in the league this year. But they'll make do with what they've got. It's an interesting year, though. And so let's bring in our pal Dave Wilson, live from Big 12 Media Days. I assume he is somewhere involved in eating some brisket right now. Dave, how are things going in Big 12 country right now?
I'm walking around the Cowboys end zone here at AT&T Stadium with I do not have any brisket, but I do have a bag of beef jerky under my arm here, so I'm keeping it Texas.
You have something in common with Eagles receivers, and you're just wandering around the end zone in Cowboys Stadium.
Okay.
Hey!
Okay,
All right. So, you know what, let's start with this. Brett Yormark talked yesterday. I have gotten the sense, and correct me if I'm wrong, that there is, we have obviously the big two in the SEC and the Big Ten, and they have dominated realignment, they have dominated finances, they're largely, the SEC in particular, dominated on the field, certainly dominated TCU in the championship game last year. But for some reason, while the ACC feels like the sky is falling, and the Pac-12 feels like the sky done fell already, and everybody is looking for survivors, things can seem oddly optimistic in the Big 12. Is that fair to say?
I think it's very fair to say. I mean, keep in mind, this conference was formed basically as kind of a hostage standoff to begin with. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma basically got together and told everybody, we're making this happen, and you're in or you're out. And then over the years, a lot of people said, all right, we're out. And you know, it's never been a happy family, ever. I mean, there's always been somebody mad that Texas had too much clout or that they had the Longhorn Network and they were getting unfair cut, or there's always been somebody mad about something. It was a fight at the very beginning. It was a fight about where the league office was going to be, where the championship game was going to be, all those things. And so for the first time, everybody that is unhappy is out. And you have four teams that are just thrilled to be here. It's probably Houston chief among them, because they've always felt like they got screwed when the Southwest Conference broke up. So you have BYU, that's a national brand, has had a huge impact on the history of college football. Now, you have Cincinnati, that's always been a program that's always been a thorn in sides and always won a lot of games. And you have UCF, that's one of these growing schools that has a huge population, and they've got all these
2017 national champion UCF, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, and so these people are very excited about this. I mean, top to bottom, it's a really fun league. And look, I don't want to come off as a homer, but like, there's a place to say, like, hey, man, college football games are fun. And not everything has to be a war of attrition like the SEC or the Big Ten. And we play a fun brand of football in the Big 12. You can still afford to come to the games. And every week you have no clue who's going to win. And you don't know who the number one team in the conference is going to be for the next 10 years. And that's kind of an exciting thing for a casual college football fan.
I am with you on this, and I've argued that this is something that the Pac-12 and the ACC should have embraced. It's like, you know, look, if you're an SEC or a Big Ten fan, I'm sure you are pleased as punch that your leagues are making money hand over fist and don't have to worry about the financial side of it. And if you're a fan in any other of team in any other league, like, you understand that the future is a little bit shaky for those same reasons. But I don't know if anybody enjoys talking finances. Like, I don't watch college football to talk finances. I watch college football for good football games. And I think that the Big 12 is smart to stop whining about money and talking about good football. I think it's a smart approach.
Right. I mean, last year, like, look at the last few years. I mean, there's no you know, we're pretty bad at picking games and champions, especially in the Big 12. There's several coaches this week have been, you know, the one thing that gives me is y'all are way wrong on this every year. And, you know, 2 years ago, Baylor and Oklahoma State come down the last play of the championship game, and no one expected either of them to be there. Last year, TCU and Kansas State come down to the last play of the championship game, and they probably weren't expected to be there. I mean, K-State was kind of a sleeper team. So, like, what is this year going to be? I don't know. Texas Tech looks like that team.
Yeah.
But Texas has one of the best rosters in the country. Oklahoma has talent, you know. So I think that actually is a very, you know, for me, it's an exciting thing. Like, I can cover a game and have no idea what's going to happen. And you know, usually in the Big 12, they're pretty fun.
Well, before they leave the Big 12, let's talk about Texas and Oklahoma. And I want to start with Texas because it is a very talented roster. I am on record as not being a buyer on Quinn Ewers. And it is a team that has not won a whole lot lately. Is this finally the year that things come together for Texas? Like, what's the feeling around like, are they expecting, like, we're leaving on a high note here?
I think they are expecting that. I mean, Sark has been very open that the roster finally looks the way he wants it to look for what he wants to do. He says camaraderie has never been better. It's all the things you hear, you know. But he's talking big. He's embraced the expectations. And I think, you know, he says, you know, we want to go out champion. And, you know, I think he knows it's a big year for him, and he's aware of that. He's not trying to duck it. But I think at the same time, you know, he's fully focused on this year. You know, the day that the 2024 schedule came out and everybody was talking about, you know, Georgia and Texas, and everybody's talking about all the different A&M Texas being back, Sark tweeted the 2023 schedule. Like, it was very clear, like, hey, don't forget, this is the year that we have circled. So, and the same for Venables at Oklahoma. If we talk about, you know, Brett Venables played at K-State. He coached at Oklahoma. He has a long history in this league. He cares about it. He talked today at length about how great the Big 12 is, how much he loves it, how great a job he thinks they're doing. So I don't think either of them take any joy in this. It's just part of the job, and I think they're both expecting to, you know, to put their stamp on things again like they have on the history of this league.
What do you make of the Brent Venables situation at Oklahoma? Because I think he got largely a pass, and rightfully so, last year because, A, Oklahoma fans were extraordinarily displeased with the last guy, and everybody kind of knew there was going to need to take some rebuilding. He recruited well. But, you know, I look at this roster and I think, like, okay, maybe. But if they went 8-4 this year or something like that, like, is that going to have some people upset around Oklahoma? Is the clock going to start ticking? Like, what's the expectation for Brent?
Well, when you end a streak of 23 straight losing seasons, I think the leash gets pretty short pretty quick. But I do think they know that there's an extraordinary situation there where a coach leaves and a whole bunch of the Heisman Trophy winner leaves with him and a whole bunch of other talented players. You know, the part that I don't think anybody expected was that the defense was going to be the part that was so bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be the hardest for him. I mean, you know him much better than I do from his time at Clemson, and I talked to him about that today. Just like, you know, how hard is it when it's your part of the shop that's the hard part? And, you know, he said it was, you know, his quote was dang hard, which, you know, I appreciate. But he said, you know, they brought in 9 defensive transfers. He you know, the fourth quarter was the part where they lost most of their games. And that part, you know, they have this legendary strength coach, Schmitty, that everybody was excited was back. And I think it's got to be personal for them that they came down to fourth quarter games, because that's usually where the old Sooner magic took place, and that was decidedly gone last year.
Yeah, look, when he took over at Clemson, and he was basically tasked with fixing a defense that looked roughly as bad as Oklahoma's did last year, I mean, the progress was not immediate, but it was a lot better than what we saw last year. And I mean, look, this is a guy I have always said I was not sure he would take a head coaching job, because I think if you would ask Brent Venables, gave him truth serum and said, what's the job you want? Like, what do you want to do on a Saturday on game day? He would say, I want to play linebacker. And I think the idea of being a coach, the head coach, was a step further away from the thing that he really thrived on, which was the X's and O's, which was, you know, hands-on players and designing a defense and doing all of that. And so, I'm not going to doubt Brent Venables, because I think he's a very good coach. But I think the job is one that is not necessarily the most suited to him as being a head coach in general, and separating that line of responsibilities and ceding trust for a defense that you always had your hands on to somebody else and letting them do it. I think it's fascinating what's going to happen there. I love Brent and hope he does well, but this does feel like a make or break season. The other thing I want to ask you about in terms of Texas and Oklahoma, and you alluded to this at the top, talking about the Big 12 and how there was always a lot of friction because of Texas, and Texas was always the problem. Even when they weren't good, they acted better than everybody else. What does that look like when they go to the SEC and they are not the elephant in the room? In fact, there's a very literal elephant mascot that will be bigger than them.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you, yesterday I was kind of surprised when someone asked Steve Sarkisian on the podium, what do you, you know, week two going into Alabama, what is that going to be like? And he said, well, look, we're the University of Texas. We always get everybody's best shot. And I remember I was kind of struck by that. I was like, look, you're not going to Lubbock, okay? This is Tuscaloosa. I'm pretty sure Alabama's accustomed to giving everybody their best shot. You know what I mean? And so I think there will be a reckoning of sorts, I think. I mean, the you know, and I'm not saying this as a, you know, any kind of personal thing, right? Their slogan is We're Texas. I mean, that's it. That's the school slogan. And they make no bones about the fact that, you know, this is what they believe. And yeah, it's going to be hard being part of a thing. And they look, when A&M went through it a decade ago, it's like, it's exciting. You're part of like this exclusive club. But after a decade, when you can't win anything and you haven't won anything, then all of a sudden you're like, man, it sure was fun when we would win games. It sure would be fun when we, you know, were there more often. And so I think that's going to be really hard, really, really hard for Oklahoma fans, a place that has won, you know, what, 50 conference championships or something insane like that. But, you know, Texas, I think it's going to be hard, like, unless they can really, like, I feel like at A&M, it forced them to grow up quickly and get their act together. In those first few years of the conference, they were really good. Now, if Texas can do that, then all of a sudden it changes things, because they have the resources, they have the talent, they have everything to make it work, but they're going to have to figure it out pretty quick.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this. The media, I know Neil Brown was not thrilled with the media poll. But I'll ask you specifically, what's your thought on the league that is impossible to predict? Go ahead and predict it for me, Dave.
Well, for one, you know, I'm kind of your mind on Texas. It's like you have to show me one time before I believe it. So so to have them get 41 first place votes or whatever, look, I buy it. They have an incredible roster. Their offense should be incredible if Ewers puts it together. And that's a big if, because he was pretty bad in a lot of games last year. He's said that. He's embraced that. But, like, you know, so I think if that comes together, then I buy it. But Oklahoma being number two was kind of surprising, given all their, you know, going 6-7 last year and a lot of struggles that they had, and having a, you know, a second-year coach. You know, Venable said today 97 of their 130 players or whatever are first- or second-year players. You know, the teams that have won this league have, like, really stud senior offensive lines. That's what TCU had last year. That's what Baylor had the year before. You know, Texas has a bunch of sophomores there. So I'm surprised a little bit there. I think Texas Tech is going to be kind of a sleeper. I think Kansas State has a shot to win it again. My prediction is that that we have no clue. I think Texas Tech is going to be really interesting to watch, because they have a lot of people back. They have a good young offensive coordinator that struggled with some things last year, and it, you know, has another year under his belt. And so they're kind of my sleeper. That's what I think. You know, Joey McGuire said last year after they beat Texas, you know, he screamed, "Everything runs through Lubbock," and that tweet went viral. And he made a joke today about how he talked to the media guy about some things are meant to be in the locker room, but he believes it. So I do think it's going to be a fascinating year and an exciting season. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I know you and I are both on the Zach Kittley hype train, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think Texas Tech is going to be an interesting one to watch. Excellent work, Dave Wilson. As always, your insight, your wisdom, your humor, your rugged good looks and boyish charm have been a true asset to all of us here listening. And I think everyone in the Big 12 benefits from your presence.
All right. And despite my non-answers, I appreciate that.
Well, look, it worked for TCU last year for you to hang around all the time. So I think everybody should be bribing you to come hang around with their team for as much as possible, and then they'll go get whipped by Georgia in the national championship game. All right, Dave, good to talk to you, sir.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right. Well, you know, I think that's enough Big 12 talk for today. When we come back on the other side of the break, we'll find some more SEC to talk about. Maybe we'll talk a little ACC. Maybe we'll talk a little more Big 10. But let's also talk to you. You got some thoughts on college football's talking season? You got some thoughts on what constitutes success for your team? We'll hear a little bit more from our interviews with Sam Hartman and Marcus Freeman all coming back up. Hit us up on the phone lines, 855-242-7285. I am David Hale. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am sitting in for Paul. My name is David Hale. I work for ESPN also. I have been kidnapped and being held hostage here to do the show. Please send help. Paul, we don't know where he is. We may never see him again, but that's fine. I'm sure he's happy. Let's open up the phone lines. Let's go to Alex in Michigan, because this has become, we have deteriorated into becoming a Big Ten show. Alex, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, David? I'd just like to say, I think this is Michigan's year.
Let me ask, because I was saying this a little earlier, that I think the last 2 years there was a little too much of patting yourselves on the back for beating Ohio State, which deserved. It hadn't happened in a while. It was a necessary step. But there is another step, and that needs to be the focus this year. I mean, do you get the sense that that's what the team needs?
That's what I'm saying. I think Ohio State comes out good this year. I think they lose to Penn State, and then Michigan beats them. I think Michigan beats Penn State. I think I think Michigan wins it all. I got Donovan Edwards coming back another year. Blake Corum's back. J.J. McCarthy's a year older. Our defense came back, most of them. And I don't know.
I think you're not far off in that there's a lot of pieces there. I think the pass rush needs to be a little better than it was last year. Obviously, you want to stay healthy. The way that they play football with defense and a ground game, I mean, honestly, that's kind of good SEC brand football to some extent, like old school. What do you – we're talking about expectations and defining success. And I want to ask you as a Michigan fan, define success for J.J. McCarthy for me.
Well, establish that passing game. Just being able to complete those long balls. Midway through the season, he just wasn't hitting them and then started coming alive right at the end.
Yeah, it was a different J.J. McCarthy in the Ohio State game and the TCU game. I thought we saw a version of him that if it can last over the course of the season, you might have me. You might have me on liking Michigan this year. I got to be honest with you. I think Penn State's pretty darn good, too. Their quarterback, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. But they're pretty – I like a lot of what Penn State's put together, too. All right, Alex, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling. Let's flip it over to Bubba from Alabama. Bubba, thanks for joining us. What do you got? Can you offer some insight to these Big Ten folks that are calling in?
I can't offer any insight. Matter of fact, I wanted to rack your brain a minute. What I will say is SEC is still the powerhouse.
Indeed.
And will remain as such. But I was going to rack your brain a minute and see what you thought on something.
Go ahead.
So from where I stand, I just wanted to ask, with Texas coming to the SEC, how does, in your mind, how does that impact recruiting for A&M?
It's a really good question. And when you think back, if you'll remember that when it first leaked that Texas and Oklahoma were going to go to the SEC before anything was finalized, it was A&M that leaked that. You know, it was A&M that wanted the word out because they were not thrilled. And this is fascinating to me, too, because the beauty of the SEC has been, even when folks disagree, ultimately the votes are unanimous and everybody agrees. And there's not a lot of other conferences where that happens. And in fact, the league where Texas is coming from, that never happened. And I think it will be interesting to see how Texas plays in this new pool that they're in starting next year. And no one knows better about what to expect from Texas than Texas A&M. And of course, there's no love lost there for lots of reasons. It's been a benefit to A&M to be the SEC school in Texas. I think there was a benefit to the rest of the SEC to be able to have a school in Texas and get in there. Certainly, Texas remains the brand of Texas, whatever league that they're in. And I don't think that I don't know that there was a lot of recruits that were going to A&M that would have otherwise gone to Texas if they were both in the Big 12 or both in the SEC. I don't know that that matters. I think you're ultimately deciding between whether A&M or Texas is the right school for you. So to me, I don't think it matters. I think A&M probably benefits from getting the rivalry back together. I think that's a win in general. All right, got to go to break. We'll be back on the other side. Talk a little bit more Texas. Talk a little bit more SEC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. I am David Hale, filling in for Paul, who we have our best men tracking down his whereabouts in hopes of recovering him at some point in the near future. This big news just across the wires here, as we say in the news business, the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, will begin airing football and basketball events on the CW network starting this year, starting with Pitt-Cincinnati on September 9th. The CW. This is not the network with Impractical Jokers. That's True TV. This is the network that I think The Flash used to be on it, and I Googled this F-Boy Island, and I'm not going to guess what F-Boy stands for. I don't know. It's not for me to judge. But anyway, very exciting news for the ACC to be joining the luminaries of The Flash and F-Boy Island. Congratulations to them. Also, big news from the SEC today. Commissioner Greg Sankey's contract is extended through 2024. That's great for him. Of course, the biggest news of the day is that we are now through 3 hours of this show, and I haven't completely burned the studio to the ground. So that's great. We'll be back at the top of the hour with more of your calls. We'll talk more Texas, more SEC, more Sam Hartman's ribs. Back after this.